What is the importance of meditating on your journey? Hey there, welcome to the Handing It to Jesus podcast. This is the podcast where we learn to trade our deepest struggles to God for peace. My name is Matt Tilley, and I am here with Craig Faust. How are you doing, Craig?
Doing well.
I like all of these episodes. These give me a lot of joy to talk about. We intentionally included this chapter, this meditate chapter, because we really believe that there is a power of meditating on hard and beautiful truths, meditating right. on not just truths of Scripture, while that is powerful and important, and it is a good discipline to have in our lives, mm-hmm. but also if you ever have written in a journal and you've flipped back to an entry from 5 years ago, have you been able to notice, like, wow, I was a different person then. I am in a very different place in my life now. The feelings I'm feeling are different. The things I'm struggling with are different. The things that I think are hard now are very different than what I thought was hard then.
Oh, definitely.
I've had that experience. If you're not a journaler, that's okay. I think you can still have that experience whenever you...
I'm not maybe, a journaler.
I used to be. It was hard to do. I would have aspirations to do it now, but it's hard.
I am a ponderer, though, so I like to sit and just think and wonder, especially about my life.
Yeah, right. Like, I think about 10 years ago and what was hard for me then, what I felt convicted for, what I felt overwhelmed by, and today I feel like a very different person. There are some similarities, for sure. There are some carryovers in my belief systems of where I struggle with certain shame beliefs, right? But my circumstances are very different. My experiences have changed me, and my relationships have changed me.
Right.
And so what we're asking you to do in this chapter is to reflect on a little bit more of the recognized chapter that we did early on, where we're talking about some of the questions there of your view of God, the consequence if you don't hand this struggle over to Jesus, and what is your motivation for still pursuing the Lord and continuing to meet with Him, continuing to be vulnerable with Him.
Right.
And what's changed or altered in the time that you've started this process from the beliefs or the views that you had then to what is happening for you right now.
Right. And meditating is so important, just as Matt said, that if we don't sit there and take a look at some of the things that we're doing and try to reflect on if there has been progress or not, right? So if you've gotten this far in the book and the problem is not improving at all, even like by 1%, we need to know that, right? We need to get an idea of that and and try to start to discern where the problem is beating us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and if it has changed, we need to get an idea of what has been shifting that's been making this better. And like, can I double down on that? Or are there areas that I can improve on to help us continue to hand this problem over to Jesus?
Not only just that, but the allow yourself a little moment to celebrate too.
Yeah.
And this doesn't have to be a grand party, and I mean, like a capital C celebrate. This can be a lowercase c celebrate of, I've been doing okay. I'm making progress. This is really good. Even if like the intensity of your struggle has gone down from a 10 to a 9, that is progress, and that's worth celebrating.
Absolutely. Or perhaps even the intensity of the problem hasn't gone down, but the way you respond to it has changed, right? So acknowledging some of those things, good things. So let's go ahead and actually jump into this first question in the meditate step. How has the problem in the view of God section? So remember, like in the view of God section, you basically redefine the problem with some of the things that you understood now. So this is different than the problem that we listed in that first step. So how has the problem in the view of God section changed or altered? If so, so if it has changed, can you redefine it below?
Mm-hmm.
So this is pretty easy for me. It has defined or been redefined for me since the start of this workbook is that, you know, how I understood this before was a problem in me following the Lord, which is true, right? That part is still true about this, and that it's having these, it's going to have these devastating consequences, especially on my children. Mm-hmm. Now, the way that I see it is this is an opportunity for my children to see what it's like to be a follower of Christ. So that shift, while it kind of may sound like a laughable reframe in some ways, it's easier for me to walk out. And the moments where we're giving to the Lord, which is kind of really where my struggle was, right? Being a cheerful giver, because then it would activate this part of me that felt like I wasn't making enough money to be able to provide for my family. And so I couldn't be a cheerful giver. And right. So there's these pieces that would happen in this. But now, whenever I flip that and I start to look for opportunities to help my son recognize, and eventually my daughter, when she gets old enough, recognize the opportunity that we have to give, the people that we may be giving to. And do you see how God blessed us with this? And now we're passing it along because that is something that not only we should be doing, but it's helping us be content because we could be using that money for other things. And we're choosing not to because this is more important.
Right.
And so, like, they get to see that process of subjugation of that scarcity piece that shows up in my mind. And whenever I do that, and it's not just locked in my head, right, I'm talking to them about, and I'm bringing them into that dynamic, it makes it so much easier for me to want to be a cheerful giver.
Totally.
And right. it changes the part in my heart where I want to engage. Yeah. I want to do something different.
Right. You know, I think for me, as I think about my view of God, even over the past few years, it's been easy, especially in my moments of utmost shame, to think that God is a judging God. And there will be a time of judgment, but that doesn't mean that God himself is defined by his judgment or as a judging God. He's a loving God who will judge.
Yeah.
And he judges the most when he sent his son to die on a cross. Mm-hmm. That judgment was fulfilled on that cross. And so I've thought often of God as disappointed in me, like a judging father might be, or a disappointed father.
Like, look what I had to do for you because you couldn't do it. Right.
Like, you're not enough. You're not doing enough. You fail at everything. You have these other areas where you're still weak and you struggle. And nobody knows, and you don't fit, you don't belong, you're a fraud, like I was kind of sharing last episode. And so I had this view of God as very impatient with me, waiting for me to catch up and just get things right, to do better. And man, I still struggle with that. But whenever I think about really what God is doing, what his purposes are with my weakness, I'm reminded of all the time as I, you know, discipline myself to read Scripture and see how he engages with the weak people of Scripture who are just like me, is that he is a God who delights in me and in sharing and showing his glory. And he is a redeeming God, and that he wants to use my weaknesses to make his name and his power shine so much more greatly than they ever could if I just show and mask to the world that I've got it all figured out myself. And so that it is actually a beautiful and right thing that I should boast of my weaknesses, like Paul says, because God gets glory then. So my view of God, I might have cognitively known that, but like I'm accepting and believing that truth more as I get a little bit further down the road.
Yeah.
And so that's one thing I think in my life that I've accepted more as I think about who God is. Yeah. So that's part of the change or difference.
Well, I think that makes question two a little bit easier for us. Like, what do you think has caused the changes or lack of changes? I think for me is bringing my kids into it, which were the people I was most afraid of affecting negatively with this kind of like scarcity, this part of not being enough.
Right.
And
that was a big point of the consequence for you, is that you would really hurt your children.
Yes. And it wasn't even me that originally was doing this. It was my wife. And she knows that I have this part And so I think that my turning to prayer, my turning to the struggle, because it was not prayer with my wife that I was talking about this. Like she knows about these pieces, but whenever I'm going through this process, it's not like she's privy to all the times that I'm wrestling with it during the day or anything like that. But she would sit there with my son at our table and she'd pick out groceries. There's this local, it's not like really kind of like a food pantry, but it's some nonprofit similar to that idea. And, they would kind of post this. These are kind of the food items needed. And like they would go through and they'd pick these things out. And I'd just like sit there and watch the excitement that he gets in his face. And he knows that like we're not going to get this food. Right. Mm-hmm. He just knows. But he's like, oh, yeah, like, look, they want peanut butter. Like, this is the kind of peanut butter that I like. Let's go ahead and give them that. And it's like imagining these people that are getting this. And there's this part of me, like whenever I see that, I'm like, that's how it's supposed to be. So like, what does it look like whenever I participate in that? Like, what does it look like whenever we're sitting in church and we're like, okay, like the offering bucket's going around. Hey, son, can you take this money and go ahead and put it in there? And so I think the big change here is one that like I am having faith in God that there's going to be enough. Mm-hmm. I don't want to play that up as much because I know that that's still part of my struggle mm-hmm. in acknowledging that. God's most certainly been testing me with that lately, and it's actually bore a lot of fruit for me. And I think that that's the part for me to still work on. But the part sure. that's changed that started to make this different is including my kids in it, namely my son right now.
Mm. Yeah, that feels a little bit different, doesn't it? To allow him to be part of kind of like a backboard for you in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
To see it played out in his life and what you want to instill in him. Mm-hmm. That's really cool, dude. I love that. I feel like you kind of answered number three almost already. Like, has the consequence in this section gotten larger or smaller for you as you think about it?
Yeah, I would say that the consequence on that front has gotten smaller. On other fronts mm-hmm. for me, right? Because like we're having a lot of problems. So in this workbook, I'm focusing on this problem specifically. But the other problem that I'm struggling with and I'm doing a fairly decent job with is like how to bring like daily Bible readings or talking about Jesus just every day, how to bring that into the home and put mm-hmm. it more into conversations and different things like that. So like I feel that one amp up some, mm-hmm. but right now what I'm trying to do with this workbook is try to kind of like balance both of those because I don't want my attention to be diverted and to forget this because mm-hmm. if I forget this, I know me and I'll stop doing the other thing and then like that problem will still be there and then I'll feel terrible because like this was what I was going through the workbook and I should have been able to do this and like all these different things of not enough thread getting thrummed that entire time. So, I can acknowledge that I have both these parts and I can work on both these parts, but I want one of them to be the primary focus for this. And this other part that I'm noticing, it's like I can either go through a second course of this or if I know that I don't have the bandwidth, which mm-hmm. I know in my life I don't, then I could just recognize whenever it's coming up and like, okay, I have the opportunity right now to turn that to Jesus, but I may not have the opportunity to completely deep dive into that.
Yeah. A lot of what we're talking about, it kind of feels like this push-pull between choosing to believe different things about or more helpful, healthy things about God, about our struggle, mm-hmm. and about really why we should keep pursuing the Lord and keep believing truth, as opposed to, well, how do I change my actions to actually have better, healthy things in my life as well? And absolutely. So that's a balance in the Christian life as well. Like you consistently see in Scripture to not merely be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And similar language like that we are called to be obedient, that if we truly love Jesus, then we will obey his word. Some of the words that he gave to Peter before he ascended up into heaven. And so the hard thing about the Christian life is that, yes, we're called to obedience and to change certain actions to live a holy and set apart life, that our worldview, our life, our actions should look different than the rest of the people around us.
Absolutely.
And that our salvation, that our identity is not dependent on our actions, that right. we don't obey to get salvation, but rather we've already gotten salvation, and therefore out of our gratitude and our love for the Lord, we want to obey. We desire to obey. And so that's this tricky part of, as we're even talking through this workbook.
Yeah.
Like, we want you guys to really get this imparted to you, that you don't have to just do all these things differently in order to know that you are loved and you belong and you're not a mm-hmm. failure, and you don't have to
right.
do these things. But you get we to. Want you to see and understand, yeah, you get to. Yeah. You can do it. You have the freedom to pursue those things without fear of shame or failure if you don't do mm-hmm. it perfectly. And we're not asking you to try to do it perfectly.
Well, and the reality is this has helped the change occur for me.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when we look at number four, like, what do you think has caused the change? The change is seeing it as the opportunity, which is something I cognitively knew before, but then I got to experience it through the joy of my son, through that contagiousness. So much so is that, like, whenever we were blessed to receive a little extra financial boost here recently, like, there was this excitement over taking a part of that and, like, ooh, like, where do we want that to go donation-wise? Or, well, what does that look like? Like, what's, you know, let's pray about it, like, what's on our hearts? And, like, those kind of cool conversations around that where sure. it wasn't the same push-pull that normally comes with, like, oh, man, we got to give part of this away. And, we could get extra groceries or get extra night out of eating somewhere. And, you know, so I think there is this difference in just being able to sit there and try to pay attention to some of those.
That's fun.
And we'll talk a little more about this, of course, next time, like once we get to some of these, more of these questions, we get to some of the strengths and everything. But gosh, just such a blessing to be able to lean into some of this.
Yeah, I love that. Whenever it comes to motivation and seeing what has happened during the action plan that we've asked you guys to step into, I think I rely on different motivations in a lot of different seasons of my life. And I think if you've spent any time in this process or going through this workbook, and hopefully it's taken you some time to get through a lot of these chapters and these hard things we've asked you to do, you've probably noticed that maybe circumstances in your life have changed, that maybe things that are good and beautiful in your life have shifted a little bit, that there's new relationships in your life. They're most likely is something new. And I think it's more than appropriate to say, like, well, there's a different thing maybe driving me or pushing me now that I'm looking forward to. I've constantly looked forward to seeing my children and my wife have a closer relationship with the Lord. That right. still is a consistent common denominator I have, I think, throughout all of the seasons of my life that drives me. I want that. I desire that.
Right.
Well, also right now, like I realize I really, really desire, I desire to know more of who God is and how he is jealous for my soul.
Right.
And that hits a little bit differently now that I am pushing myself to have a more discipline to spend time in the Word and spend time with Jesus. As I'm reading through, like, more of the story of the Bible, the narratives, and the wisdom literature, like, I'm just impressed by that consistently of how he is jealous for me. And that drives me more than it did, like, 2 months ago.
Right. So the beautiful thing, you can hear Matt and I talk about some of our journeys here, And even as we're talking about it, it kind of answers this kind of like summary part where we're looking at these responses and can you connect them to some of the improvements. So like this part, I don't want to go through it for us. I want you to think about it. I want you to write it down. Try to notice some of these ways that you've made progress or some of these things that you noticed that have kind of really amped up the problems or struggles or anything like that. We want to get an idea of this before we move into those strengths and weaknesses, which we'll talk more about next episode.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us for this episode, guys. As always, we really appreciate it, and we hope that it is beneficial for you. Please email in, ask us questions. We would love to connect with you and understand what else would be helpful for you to hear. We hope that you will tune in next week or next episode as well. But until then, we love you all. Take care. Hey, guys. Thank you for tuning in and giving us a listen today to this episode of Handing It to Jesus. We are a not-for-profit organization, and we depend on the donations of people like yourself so that we can keep making podcast episodes like this and so that we can continue making written content. And so we have provided for you a free workbook that you can find linked right below. You can also find linked our donation page right below. You can also find those links in our bio as well. We hope that through those donations that we are able to continue making more episodes, that we're able to continue making more written content so that you can hopefully grow closer in your walk with the Lord. We ask that you prayerfully consider partnering with us in that way if God lays that on your heart.
Yeah, and a little more about that. I mean, this is something that I personally struggle with financially in this like scarcity mindset that Jesus has been working on with me for quite some time. And maybe you're a person like me that's been suffering in that way and where I see different things that I want and it always seems like money is tight. And one of the things that we want to let you know is that part of our walk with Jesus is that Jesus gets us uncomfortable around those things. And so like usually what this looks like for me is I have my eye on something new that I want. And then there's a effort, there is a mission, there is a front on the kingdom's effort or something that somebody's doing that I want to put towards. And then I have that like little competition that ends up happening. It's like, all right, do I want to invest towards the kingdom or do I want to go towards this product? And that's super common for Christians to, especially like in our society in today's day and age, to compete with. And so if you're hearing this today and maybe you feel led to give, maybe there's a movement in your heart, like Matt says, pray about that, take that to God and act on it immediately. Immediately go to the donation and whatever God lays on your heart, allow yourself to do that because maybe God is actually calling you to move forward on this front, to actually give into this battle, this mission that we have here. And if you don't feel that call, that's okay too. You can still enjoy the content. Others may pave the way for you. There are most certainly times in my life where things that I really enjoy and that really help me, that others have paved the way for me. And that's okay. You can still enjoy the content. And God may wrestle with you or may call you to fight on this front in a different way or give in a different way to somebody else. Or maybe, like Matt said, it's actually just spreading the word. It's maybe telling somebody about our podcast. Maybe it's giving us a review in some way to be able to help other believers find this. There is so much content in the world and so many different things that maybe we consume maybe a little too much. And we just want to provide another avenue for believers to put the focus on Jesus, put the focus on that relationship, and to be able to spend that time, whether or not it's in the podcast or some of the written content we have or some of the even ideas that we have for the future. So thank you for joining us in that, whether or not it's you donating to us right now or whether it's you just letting other people know about us existing.
Right. Yeah. Thank you guys again for tuning in. Please subscribe, like, follow, share with your friends, talk about us with other people. We would greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much again, and we love you. We will see you next time.